morning. I'm Dean Ortner. My wife Terry is, she's in the back. We appreciate the opportunity to present something that is probably a little different from most of what you expect. Pastor Robert approached me a couple weeks ago and asked me to present something around two key words in Colossians, the first chapter. The words themselves are before, and the other word is consist. And that comes from Colossians. Well, we'll start with verse 9 and go through 22. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all His might, according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us complete to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Notice those are both in past tense, so it's a done deal, folks. Many of us might be concerned about, will we make it to heaven? But somebody already prepared the path for us, so don't forget that. Delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Curiously, that verse is left out of a lot of modern translations. That's a whole other story. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We'll have to explain that a little bit later. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. These are all the various spiritual rulers, from different angels of different power. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should dwell all fullness. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, something else that's missing these days, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to be presenting you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That's good news. Somebody else took the hit for you and for me. Now, we don't have to look at these things, but I want to remind you about some handouts in the back. There's a chart that shows the various titles of the Lord, where they come from and what they mean. There's a brochure, a green one, that has a list of Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah, and the other column are all the New Testament confirmations of the person that fit those prophecies. So take that along with you and make sure you have that available. There's a Jewish musician, very accomplished. He was a virtuoso soloist at 8 years old, playing very complicated pieces. His name is David Pinto. David is become a dear friend of mine. We've talked for many, many hours. He's an agnostic Jew and has not apologized for that. He just has not come to faith yet. We pray for him. I'm with him every Saturday as we handle the Blind Academy of Music that meets here. So I gave him that brochure yesterday. But to pick these up, either in the back or in the table outside there for you. That silver DVD is a lecture given by an acquaintance of mine, Dr. Tour, James Tour. He's an organic chemist, and it's a very fascinating, a lot of graphics, very fascinating statement about God and his creation. These verses in Colossians that the pastor asked me to talk on, and he said, I know your background is science, and I'd like you to bring out why these words were used in the scripture here. This all started back when Paul was in Ephesus, and that's a main trade route. It's 100 miles west of Colossae, and Epaphras was one of his young ministers, and he started that church, they think, in Colossae. But they had problems with the Gnostics that were coming in and disturbing the Jewish believers, the new Jewish believers there. Some of the Jews that were not part of the ministry, some of those Jews were what they call Hellenistic Jews, and they picked up on the Greek philosophy and were getting messed up by changing the meaning of some of the words that God gave us in the scripture, particularly the word before in the verse that Christ is before all things, and in all things consist through what the Lord has done. Another word was firstborn of the creation, or the beginning of creation. Some of my JW contacts have taken a different meaning of that word. There are a couple of different meanings in the Greek. One is the beginning of the creation means the first of many created things afterwards. The second meaning is the source of everything that comes after. And that's how it's used in the term referring to Christ. So you can see how someone could take the scripture statements and bend them to their own theology that, as the Gnostics believed, Jesus was simply a person. He was the first of the creation, the beginning of the creation, before all things were created. He was the first before of everything else. So be careful when you read these things in the scriptures, knowing that someone else is going to be retranslating it into something it doesn't mean. So it's very critical. I'd like to talk about three different people, three journeys, three events, and three responses or reactions to what happened to them. The first one began a number of years ago when we were having these creation evolution controversies as to what to teach in the public school systems. And maybe you've heard of all this. A lot of conflict. Over in Europe, they don't have that much of a conflict. It's kind of become a political thing here, but some of my acquaintances in Europe who are scientists marvel at what our country is doing with these informations coming from the scriptures about who did what. And so the German television network was assigned a task of going to America and filming a classroom that is using creation and evolution in the classroom and teaching on the difference between those issues. And they flew to New York, called upon the ACSI, the Association of Christian Schools International, and asked them, where could we go to find somebody teaching these two issues? And ACSI is very aware of California, and they gave them two different schools. One was a school down in Escondido area. My friend Sean is the science teacher there. He is Josh McDowell's son. Sean approaches things from a philosophical standpoint, but they wanted someone that is very hard in science. And they said, well, there's another school up in Whittier called Whittier Christian Schools. And there's a former science person that left the research profession and became the science chair. And maybe that would it'd be where you want to go. And so this team flew out to LA, filmed our campus and in the classroom, teaching, interviews with the students, flew back to Germany and put the broadcast on national network television in Germany and ultimately all over Europe. There was a young lady in her late 20s, her name was Sonia, a German, who saw the broadcast, called the station and said, I'm troubled. I need answers to things. It turns out she was what they call a cutter or a slasher. The inside of her arm looked like she'd been running through a rose bush, flying, and her hands were all scarred. And they said, well, we don't know where to send you, but we've heard that there's a Christian organization that bought a castle in Germany, I think Hungary actually, and they've converted that into a youth retreat. And students from all over Europe are going there. We would suggest that you go and talk to them about the questions you have. So she went, and while she was there at that castle, which is started by the Word of Life group, and that happened to be a group that Terry and I have ministered to for many, many years in their conference grounds for young people. And they said, you know, it's very interesting from what you described of what you heard on the television in Germany, that guy is also right now down at our conference ground in Florida at a conference teaching using the science demonstrations that he does. And Sonia bought a ticket and flew all the way to Florida and said, where's this guy that's doing these programs? And they said, well, they're scheduled at a certain time. So she came to the program and we talked afterwards for a long time. And Sonia came to faith, something that God does when you give God a chance to work. No matter what you say, that even simple little things, encouraging someone or saying, Jesus asked me and prompted me to give this to you, whether it's food or something to read. And God can use that because Christ is before all things. That particular word, before all things, has nothing to do with first in a line. It means he sees everything that's going on. He created the universe. It belongs to him. It's his property, so don't mess with his property. So he knew about Sonia even before she asked these questions and made various prompts in her life, obviously, to get her to end up down in Florida. Terry and I are usually only there for a couple of weeks, sometimes a month with the youth, but we turned her over, as it were, to counselors there to disciple her for the rest of her stay. That's a response that Sonia made. This next video clip is the most amazing thing I've seen because it's by Dr. Robert Jastrow. He's the head of the Goddard Space Institute. And we're going to play that clip now, let you see how he responded to the information that the Lord has allowed this team to present.
Three.
That was Dr. Jastrow's reaction to the evidence. Number three is a record of a businessman, very wealthy in Chicago a number of years ago. He was going to go on vacation with his family, had some business complications occur. He said, okay, you go ahead. He and his the mom and the four daughters boarded a ship and headed for probably England first, I can't recall. Yeah, but Horatio stayed behind to finish up his business. And we have a clip of a ship. And the reason I asked Sam to put that in the group is because this song came out of this accident. Listen to the words carefully. The volume comes up. Thank you. Mr. Spafford got a telegram after that accident, and it only had two words. It was from his wife, and she had written, "Saved alone." Lost all his girls. So he was on the way to join them, and at that site in the middle of the Atlantic, the captain told him, "This is where your family drowned." And he went down to his cabin and wrote these words from that song, one of the most popular these days. The Lord has your back. He's before all things. He's seen what's going to happen 100 years from now in any person's life. And there are those who, as Sonia, heard the word and responded There are those like Dr. Jastrow, who heard the good news, and I can't accept it. It doesn't fit in my philosophy. There are those like Mr. Spafford who can write music like that amid such tragedy. So when tough times come, just remember who's got your back, okay? Jeremiah was given a strange, as God often does, because the Jewish culture is one of pictures in words. Let me give you one quick example. If the father eats onions and his wife eats garlic, no wonder the children have halitosis, okay? Now, what on earth does that mean? It means the words coming out of the father's mouth are sour. The words coming out of the wife's mouth, you kind of back away from. No wonder the kids do the same thing. So the Jewish culture is full of pictures, and when God asks a prophet to do something, it might sound strange. Jeremiah chapter 31 was told to go and buy a nice linen wrapper, a belt, a sash. So he wore it for a while, and then God told him to go and bury it in some dirt in the cleft of a rock. So he did that. And then months later, he said, Jeremiah, go and dig up your belt, your sash. And he said, but Lord, it will be ruined by now, worthless. But he followed what the Lord asked him to do. Dug it up, and of course it was destroyed, ragged, full of holes and rotting. And he said, now go preach to the Jewish people, because they've rejected me. They do not listen to my word. And if they don't turn around, this is what's going to happen to their nation. And it did over and over and over again through the centuries. Now, the Lord's promise to Abraham is irrevocable. It's an eternal, everlasting promise that the Jews are a chosen people. And some of my Jewish friends say, please have him choose somebody else, you know. But they're a chosen people, and God is working through them and going to use them as probably one of the biggest examples or illustrations of life in the history of the human race. Kind of like Job is going to be used as an example. He went through horrendous trouble and has become a byword in our culture. And God, when Satan came to blab about what's going on the earth, God says, consider my servant Job. And toward the end of all these troubles, Job was saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job is an example of faith in troubles. Our young lady here, back, can you imagine what it's like to break your back? Things are going to happen to us in life. And you've got a choice, like Jastrow or Sonia or Mr. Spafford, how you're going to respond to it. When we close in a few minutes, we're going to play a piece of music that was written by an English pastor. His name was Light, L-Y-T-E. And Pastor Light was dying. On his deathbed, he wrote the song we're going to close with, and died 10 days later. So when troubles come, think of it as a way of God strengthening your resolve, because he is before all things, he knew it was going to happen, and he's watching you to be a light to those around you that are going through the same thing. Jeremiah quoted this statement from God to the Jewish people after he told them, and this illustration of his sash. He said in chapter 31, "Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness and before your feet stumble on the dusky mountains. And while you are hoping for light, he makes it into deep darkness and turns it into gloom." So when the gloom comes, that is not the time to wonder where God is. He's been there all along. Life is full of troubles. Some of us more, some of us less. There's a French writer that I read one time. He made a statement about people accepting or rejecting the information. And he said, if I can quote this right, "If the common man shakes off the influence of religion, he will supply its place with monstrous opinions. He will be seized with a terror the more strange as he will be ignorant of his object. He will go to the churchyard and set up a plaque that says, 'Death is an eternal sleep,' and while affecting to despise the divine power, go to the gypsy and trembling seek his destinies in the motley figures of a card." End quote. That's some people's reaction to the truth. My wife's degree's in English literature and Shakespeare, so I like to quote Shakespeare whenever she hears me, thinking I remember her background. But Shakespeare made a very interesting statement. "But man, proud man, dressed in brief little authority, plays such tricks before heaven as to make the angels weep." Because those angels, those are part of the principalities and the thrones that are set up, they're watching us. There are certain angels called watchers responsible for the administration of spiritual things. And there's also, maybe some of you remember C.S. Lewis. He was led to the Lord by G.K. Chesterton, one of his friends. And Chesterton made an interesting statement one time. "If the common person shakes off the influence of religion, he will supply its place with monstrous opinions. You'll be seized by a terror the more strange, as you'll be ignorant of its object." So, we've got to be very careful. God is watching what's going on here. He knows the end from the beginning. And you get trapped in this Gnosticism that dismisses everything that he's done and attribute it all to random chance and accidents, you'll end up like the Athenians. There was a big plague that went through the city, killing thousands of people. So one of the philosophers put a plaque in the front of the entrance of the city gates. And it said, "If a man dies and the earth drinks up his blood, there is no resurrection." Now, can you imagine going through life with that kind of an attitude? Very sad. We're almost done. Before all things, that means when the Lord spoke the universe into existence, he was there, watched it happen. The scriptures also tell us that he stretched out the heavens. That means light has always been here. It didn't start up in a nuclear fire somewhere and finally make it to our planet. Oh, no wonder we're billions of years old in our universe, because it took that long for light to get here. Folks, it never left. Never left. And if he's so powerful that he can speak things with the energies available and throw them out there, as they now know, they're fleeing away. Well, what if they all started in one place? And we've got a Big Bang explanation for what God did. We don't need God anymore. And they're responsible for that. That other word that Pastor asked me to develop was consist. In him all things consist. That means held together. How do you suppose two protons can be so closely linked in the nucleus without flying apart? There's energy holding them together. There's a strong force and a weak force in nuclear energy. And scientists now know that in order to hold two protons together, you need 13.7 billion electron volts. Now, when a nuclear bomb goes off, it's not an explosion per se. We define it that way because we see all the fire and the heat. But what's happened there is we figured out how to bombard those binded atoms of rarefied uranium and can break that bond with over 13.7 billion electron volts by hammering it with another particle coming at it at the speed of light. So all God has to do is turn off that consisting energy that he's keeping everything together. And we're told in Revelation, everything's going to melt and burn up. The first time, the earth was destroyed by water. But God gave us a promise he wouldn't do that again, so we've got a rainbow. But the last time, it's going to be fire. More powerful than a nuclear fire, dissociating those atoms. Everything's going to burn up. All of our retirement money? What's that stuff doing around, you know, without being used? So that's a good thing to do. You can still get it to usefulness by putting something in your will so it goes some places where you want it to go, rather than your kids inheriting it and not following your will or your desires, maybe. Let me end with a little bit about the folks like Dr. Jastrow, who refused to accept God creating something as complex as the human conscious. Where would that come from by random accents of things clashing together? Many people talk about the genetic code. You know, there are 200 amino acids in nature, 200 of them. You know what God did? He only picked four to make the DNA code structure that builds trillions of little machines, nano machines inside your body to do some work, to keep you alive. Even a little baby, a newborn baby, every second, that little baby's body is creating 1 trillion hemoglobin molecules. 1 trillion every second. There are nanomachines in your body doing this. DNA replication, it spins at 10,000 RPM. That's as fast as a turbine on a jet engine under full power. And it spins off all these proteins that work the machines. It also spins off the design for the machines that's in the code. All this is going on. You've got twenty 20 trillion yards of DNA in your body, in all those cells. It's about a 6-foot strand, but there are many, many genes. 20 trillion yards, that converts to 11,367,643,280 miles in your body. And this thing's spinning at 10,000 RPM. If we could enlarge that to the size of a soccer ball, speaking of the World Cup, and put in a string of monofilament fish line that would be miles long, just one of the strands of the code, and you would somehow be able to be inside that soccer ball with an X-Acto knife, and you are splitting the monofilament fish line in half without making a mistake while you are spinning at 10,000 RPM inside that ball. And yet some people think, oh, this all just happened by accident. No wonder that verse in Romans 18, chapter 1, 18 through 20-something. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, its invisible attributes, eternal power and divine Godhead have been clearly seen through what he has made. So they are without excuse. Without excuse. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of a corruptible man, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. That's called evolution. And you're without excuse. So if you have any questions about this, and could it really be possible for all this stuff to just come together, pick up that silver DVD out there. I think there's some left out there. God's got everything before him, and he's holding it together for his purpose to get his word out. And we have opportunities of being a part of that program. When David, I'll close with this, when David had a crowd of warriors with him, and they went and they whooped on the bad guys and gathered the booty, all the things that they had stolen from the Jewish people, brought it back to the camp. Some of David's warriors were some real rascals, but they're good fighters. And when they were going to divide up the spoil, these reputable warriors, David called them, they started arguing because David was going to give some of the spoils and divide it up equally, not only with the fighters that went out on the front lines, he was going to divide it up with the people that stayed behind to guard the camp and didn't have to go to the fight, and to watch over the families and the kids. And they objected to that. We were out in the front lines, working like crazy, sweat and blood, getting shot at, or well, in those days, hacked at. And we don't think they deserve all this. And David made an ordinance that the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that goes until this day, that those that stay with the stuff divide shares equally with the warriors on the front lines. Now in our day, we've got the missionaries out there. And my wife and I did that for, what, this is 46 years? 56 years, has it been that long? I think it's 40, whew. And I mean, you get shot at sometimes, and you know, fisticuffs, although I never fought back that way, but they say bad things about you. But we know that there are people praying for us, and you can withstand a lot when you know God's got your back and your friends have your back. So remember that. We have the privilege of being able to support those people that are taking all the hits out there in our place. Willingly, they do that so that the gospel can be spread out. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'd like you to watch this last video on that song that Pastor Light wrote. Lord, we thank you for giving us an opportunity of still being alive and being able to share our faith, bring people across our paths that we can just make a comment that are prompted to say, and that you will bless that because they might look back and remember that somebody helped them out, somebody cared about their situation, prayed with them, and they ultimately came to faith through your grace and mercy. As we watch this last film, might we take it to heart. In Christ's name, amen. Gentlemen,